Appreciate the privilege of being here this morning. I told the Lord this morning in prayer, I'd just like to be a backup. You know, sometimes I feel like the Lord, He burdens ministers, every one of us, and He gives us messages. I remember a minister one time told me till they came to the meeting and the Lord had given them a burden and burned heavily on their heart. They got to service. Every time they got to service, the Lord lifted that burden. They couldn't understand it. It happened time after time. And they began to pray and look to the Lord about it. And the Lord told them, said, I've done everything in my power to get someone here. But they didn't come. And so He lifted that burden. You know, I thought about that and it challenged me. Because it made me realize how much God loves you and I. Dear ones, He will go to great extents to prepare just exactly what you and I need, everyone, to get us to heaven. And He will take and prepare His servants with just exactly what will touch our heart. And He prepares all of us. And I thank the Lord for that, because it makes me know God is a personal God. And He comes down to every one of our lives. And I thank the Lord for that. I have a lot on my heart this morning, and I desire your prayers, the Lord, to help me to know what to bring out. The primary focus of my burden this morning is to the young people, to the young married, to the young families. But I trust that the Lord will cause it to be a challenge and a blessing to each one of us this morning. As you look around in our world today, in our nation, I'm sure that there are times that it looks pretty discouraging. When you begin to look and you see all the violence and the wickedness that's increasing in our nation and in our world, when you look at the corruption that seems to be just increasing more and more in all levels of government and society, when you look at the moral decay of our nation and how that as a result of that, homes and marriages are being broken up, and for that matter, the very foundation and the fabric of marriage as God intended it is being challenged on every hand. Men marrying men, women marrying women. In some nations in our world, there's people that's clamoring for the right to be able to marry their pets. That's how low our world is getting in the moral condition of our nation, in our world. And as you look around and you see these things and you hear of wars and conflicts in different parts of the world and violence that's happening there, and you begin to look around and you begin to see the way that our nation is becoming more and more divided. And it looks like sometimes that the very foundation of our nation is crumbling right around us. As you look at all these things, I'm sure that there are times that you're tempted to think that's just the way it is. The Bible talks about how that it will get wax worse and worse as time goes on. And so the enemy be right there to tell you, what's the use? What's the point of trying to do anything to turn things around? When you look at these things and as you consider this, if you listen to the enemy of your soul, he will convince you that there's not any reason to. He'll go on and he'll begin to convince you that there is no reason for you to waste your time witnessing to your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, those in the schools that you go to school with. He'll convince you that there's no reason for you to risk your career or your job to stand up for something that is morally right, that is being challenged in the place where you're at. He'll tell you that, why do that? Why would you take, and when everybody else seems like they're just going with the flow and there's nothing you can do about it, just go right on. He'll talk to you and he'll convince you, if you listen to him long enough, that there is no point in risking your life to go down to the ghettos, the jails, the missions, to go to places like Africa and India and Pakistan and some of these places where our missionaries are hazarding their lives for the gospel's sake. The enemy will convince you that, what's the point? Why would you do that when things are just going to wax worse and worse? The enemy will also come along and he'll tell you, you know, when you really think about it, Things are so bad that it's impossible for one person, or for that matter, for the church in general, to make a difference. You know the enemy, he's a liar. You know, he is out to discourage you from even trying to do one thing for the cause of God. He'll come along and he'll tell you, you know what? The little group of people that you're worshiping with, the saints, the church of God as we know it. You know, they're one of the smallest groups of all the Christian denominations in the world. And if you look at all these big denominations with the millions of dollars that they bring in and all of their tithes and offerings, and you look at the size of their missionary budgets and all the people that they've gone out, if they can't make a difference, what do you think that you can make a difference? What is it that causes you to think that you as an individual can go out and make a difference in the kingdom of God? Do you ever wonder why Jonah felt the way that he did? When God began to talk to him and ask him to go down to Nineveh, that great city, I'm going to tell you why it was. It's because he listened to the voice of the enemy too long. And young people, I want to challenge you and I want to warn you this morning. Be careful how you entertain the questions and the thoughts that the enemy presents to your mind. I'm going to tell you, we're living in a time where the spirits of evil have been released and the devil is going about seeking whom he may devour. And he will be right there to fill your mind with questions and thoughts. And I want to say this. I know we live in a social media environment in our world today and in a time of quote-unquote openness where there are forums where you can express anything and everything that comes to mind. Where sometimes people tell things that I'm not involved in all those, but I hear things and I think, why would anybody tell that kind of stuff about themselves? But in this world, in this environment in our world today, it's easy to just begin to express any thought, anything, and stir up thoughts. And I've heard it said, I just want to provoke some discussion and thoughts. I want to warn you this morning, be careful. It's so easy to start little fires, dear ones. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it is a very different thing when that little fire becomes a raging inferno. When you get out there and you begin to bring these things. There was a man at home, it's been a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. And he was there at his house and he was smoking and he just took the cigarette before he went in and just flicked it out in the yard. I'm sure he felt like, this is my place, I can do what I want to. But he didn't take into account the environment that was around him. We were in a drought. Everything was so dry all around that it was almost like kindling. It was just there. And he flicked that out there and he went on in the house and that cigarette sat there and smoldered for a little while and the Oklahoma winds come around and just blew on it a little bit, and it wasn't long till it started a little fire that didn't stay little. It began to become a raging inferno that burned thousands of acres, and I don't remember, it seemed like it was a few hundred people that lost their homes. Some people lost their lives. It was a terrible thing. It started out, and I'm sure that man felt like, oh, it's just a little thing. I never meant to do that. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's so easy to start little things, questions, thoughts, and just cast those out there. But I'm going to tell you, the devil will take and he'll blow on that. And he'll begin to bring thoughts and accusations, and he'll begin to bring all kinds of things until it won't be long until you begin to question anything that you ever stood for. That's his purpose, dear ones. And then when you look around and you see people that's used to sit where you're sitting. People that you loved dearly. And you look around and you see those people that you had great confidence in and people that you regarded highly, but something happened. And now they've gone out from among us. And they no longer feel strongly about the things that we preach and teach from these pulpits. And you look at that and you say, what's going on? Do you know that's a hard thing? For many times for people, children, young people, and sometimes older ones to understand. He's like, well, why are they no longer here with us? Why can't we just all get along? And why can't we just all be a happy family? You know, it's kind of like a child in a divorce situation. It's a terrible thing. Those children are small and they don't understand what has happened in that family. Little things begin to creep in and it begins to grow until it become big things. And those parents no longer have any kind of compatibility. They can't stand to be together. And the children are saying, why? Why can't they just love each other? You know, that's a hard thing. It hurts to see those things happening. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's what the devil is doing. That's what the devil is doing. He's trying to take and he's trying to destroy precious souls. Well, when these things happen, the devil also comes in. As he's already begun to lay the foundation and work in our lives and wondering, questionings, and then he'll take and he'll cause us to look around. And we'll see those that have been faithful to God. People that have been pillars in the church, consistent in their lives. The Lord looks like their whole desire is to live for God. And then you'll see them suffering, enduring afflictions. And while at the same time others that have been up and down and straddling the boundaries and just seem like have gone on back and forth, and you look at them and it seems like they're prospering. There's no bands in their death. And the devil's looking at all this and he's saying, what's the point? What is it? And I'm sure that in those times that you're tempted to question sometimes, does it really matter? Does God really care about some of the little things in our lives? What does God care about? Have you ever had those kind of thoughts? If you have, I'm not surprised. In fact, I would be more surprised if you told me, never thought about that. But dear ones, I want to talk to us this morning about what does matter to God. And that is what I've written on the board, and that's an excellent spirit. Dear ones, when you look at all the things that are happening in our world today, and you see all the evil and all the things that are abounding, and the devil's right there to say, those are big things. God doesn't care. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I am fully convinced this morning that our nation and our world would not be dealing with the big things that are happening in our world if they'd taken care of the little things. I'm convinced this morning that there are homes and families, there's relationships, there's people that are struggling with big things in their lives this morning that they wouldn't be dealing with if it had not been if they'd taken care of the little things in their lives. I'd like for you to turn with me. Those of you that are Bible scholars, you know where I'm going. Over here to Deuteronomy. Or not Deuteronomy, Daniel, the 5th chapter. Brother Larry talked about this last night. So I'm not going to read all this. Daniel, the 5th chapter. This was the story that he related to us about Belshazzar. Belshazzar was having a party. Wasn't just any kind of a party. It was a big shindig. Everybody that was anybody was there. All the lords and the rulers and their wives and concubines and all of this. And they were having a big time. And in the midst of all of this, as he mentioned last night, they called for the vessels of the temple to be able to drink out of those as they worshiped their gods of gold and silver. Their purpose was to be able to prove a point. We've conquered this God. But you know, that was an affront to the God of heaven. And because of that, in the midst of that, what we heard last night, the hand of God came and he began to write on the wall. And as he began to write those words that we heard about last night, we find that all of a sudden, you talk about crashing the party. It was silent. All you could hear was probably the chattering and the shaking and as the king's knees were bouncing together there. And he called in his wise men, his astrologers. He called in all the people that should be able to understand this, and none of them could do it. And then he called in Daniel. When the king's mother told him, said, there's a man here in whom is the spirit of the living God. You need to call him. And when he called Daniel, Daniel began to give him the interpretation. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I love the story of Daniel. Perhaps one of the reasons is because it illustrates so well how that one person can make a difference in a nation, in a community, in a congregation, in a home, no matter where it's at. And dear ones, I want you to know this morning, I believe that God still wants to use you and I to make a difference for good in people's lives in our world today. In our nation, in our communities, in our congregations, on our place of work, in our place of work, in our homes. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we desperately need it in our world today. We need young people that will be pillars for God right in their schools, right when everybody else is just taking and living lives that are immoral. We need young people that are willing to have an experience with God, that are willing to stand up for what's right, right where I'm at. We need young men that are willing to grow up and be husbands and fathers, you forgive me, that'll pull up their pants and go to work and support their families. Men that will take and live lives that their wives and their children can have confidence in them. Not someone that's just there, that's just going along and the wives having to drag them along. But they can be leaders in their home. We need young women, dear ones, that can take and be wives and mothers that would be pleasing in the eyes of God. Those that know how to cook, to clean a house, that when their children come home, their husband come home, they're not stepping over piles of laundry and toys and all these things. I understand. Wives, I understand. I know children sometimes can make messes. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about wives that can take and be the wife and mother that God intends for you to be. That when your children comes home and when they're there, that you can teach and train them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That they can grow up solid, solid, mature individuals, not growing up with all of the inhibition, the fears and all of the complexes and all the things that are so filling young people in our world today. They don't have confidence to go out on a job. They don't have confidence to do anything because of the things. They've been beat down and they've been treated and cast. I don't have time for you. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we desperately need young men and young women that will be godly men and women that will stand up for right and for truth in our world today. Our communities need it. Our schools need it. Our nation needs it. Our congregation needs it. Someone that will be there every time that the door is open. Not just there once in a while, maybe once a week, Sunday morning, or maybe just on a special occasion. But I'm going to be there every time the church doors open by the help of God. That I can teach my children and I can be an example. And then when those of the world come in, they can see people that are living for God, that have a desire and a zeal for God. It's not just a pastime or something I do in my spare time, but it's a priority for me. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, this is what we need in our world today. We desperately need it. Lord, help us. I believe the Lord is still looking for these things. Sometimes people aspire to be great. I want to have wisdom like Solomon. I want to have a high and a lofty position like Daniel did or King David did, so I can do great things for God. But you know, dear ones, I found that that's not typically the way God works. God typically uses common, ordinary people just like you and I. He puts them in positions and places that are above their ability or their station in life. And God takes and He begins to work with them, just like He did here with Daniel, like He did with Joseph, and like He did with David. Where did these men get their training? Where did they get their ability to fill these great positions that God called them to fill? They didn't come from royalty, and they weren't taken and over here, and they were reared to fill this place. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, they were common and ordinary people. What was Daniel? He was a captive. Joseph was a slave. When you look at these things, dear ones, different ones, David, what was he? He was a shepherd boy, wasn't he? And some think an illegitimate child at that. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God wasn't looking at those things when he chose them. I want you to recognize, and young people, I want you to get a hold of this. What God was looking for when he chose them, he was looking for someone that would be willing and obedient to follow his commandments, regardless of where it led them, regardless of what other people thought or what it cost them. This was what God was looking for. And this is the focus that I want us to look at. When you look at this, someone that is willing to allow the Spirit of the living God to work in and through them, just like Daniel did. If you'll notice here in this 12th verse, it says, "For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in this same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show you the interpretation." When you look at this, I want to ask you this morning, what was the secret of this excellent spirit that Daniel had? What was it that caused him to have the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the ability to do the things that he did? Look here, and if you turn on here and look, and let's see what the queen said. In the 11th chapter of this 5th verse, she said, "There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom King Nebuchadnezzar thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. And the king said, I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee." This, dear ones, is the secret of the excellent spirit that Daniel had. It was the spirit of the living God. And dear ones, the question is how did Daniel possess the spirit of the living God? I'm sure that there were people in Daniel's time that was just like, was it Simon in the apostles' time, that would have been willing to pay great money to possess the spirit? But I want you to know something. This spirit cannot be bought. It cannot be inherited. It cannot be passed down from generation to generation. It cannot be bestowed upon you by man. Do you know there is not a minister individually or collectively in this assembly this morning that can bestow the spirit of the living gods upon you? But the living God will bestow it upon those who seek him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Those that are willing to follow and obey him regardless of where he leads, regardless of what others think, regardless of what it will cost them. Those are the ones that the living God will bestow his spirit upon. When you look at Daniel's life, you will find that Daniel and those that he surrounded himself with had this kind of love and desire to please God. I'm going to go all the way with God. And I want to look now in Daniel, the first chapter. Time is getting away. I'm not going to read all this. Daniel, the first chapter, you can read this, but it tells about how that the king told his servants to go out and to draw from all of those of the captives and all of those different ones and bring them in, the brightest and the best, and bring them in. And he wanted to feed them from his table and give them his wine, and he wanted them to flourish. And then he was going to come in, and he was going to take and like assembly like this and say, and talk to different ones, and I think I'll choose you, and I'll choose you, and I want this. And what he was doing was he was choosing those to be wise men and rulers and those in power and authority in his kingdom. But you know what? I want you to notice what it says about Daniel in this 8th verse. After that they had done all of this and he presented this out, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Dear ones, this is more than a story. Young people, I hope this morning that you can get a hold of something here. God did not record these things just for lullabies. Stories that you can read, and they are that. You can read them to your children. But dear ones, God caused all of these things that are recorded in the scriptures to be recorded for a purpose. Because you will find a pattern of the dealing of God on those that he is preparing to use for his service and to fill with his excellent spirit. You'll find a consistent pattern of how God worked in their lives. And I'm going to tell you, God didn't change. He's still working the same way in people's lives today. When you look at this, like Daniel here, you will find that in the lives of Daniel, of Joseph, of David, of the three Hebrews, and all of the others that God has chosen down through time, you will find that there was a time of proving, a time of testing, before God chose them to be filled, to fill a place, to carry out his service. And like with Daniel here, typically it will be a trial, a test, that will take and go to the very core of your faith in God. It will challenge the very resolute determination within your very soul of whether or not that you are going to be willing to hold to the principles, to the things, the convictions that God has put in your heart. Whether you're going to hold those things regardless of what anybody else does. Because God wants to know what's in your heart. If you remember, dear ones, in this story, and I won't go through and read all this, but if you remember many of the others, there were lots of other Israelites that were chosen along with Daniel and the three Hebrews. And most of those apparently had decided that it was okay to eat of the king's meat and to drink his wine. They apparently must have thought that, perhaps they thought, God permitted us to be chosen for this position, knowing what the king would require. So surely it must be okay. If we disobey the commandments of Moses and partake of the meat and the wine from the king's table. When they looked at these things, I'm sure there were times that they looked at that and thought, well, God knew. God knew what was going to happen. God knew that all of these things would happen. And so they went ahead and they began to eat. I'm sure they looked at that and thought, really? Really? In perspective. Now let's put it in perspective. Now this is how the enemy works. When you really think about it, what is more important? Not eating certain kinds of meat like Moses commanded long ago, or being in a place where I can influence the king of Babylon? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's not only a great honor, but think how it could be a blessing to the people of Israel. To be chosen to fill this high position. When you think about it, really, what's more important? That or not eating something that Moses said a long time ago? That happened way back there. We're living in a different time. We're living in a different country. Those things don't apply today. God knew. I mean, after all, look at these people. They've been eating this for years, and it hasn't bothered them. Can you see how the enemy uses human wisdom to come in and begin to erode the commandments of God? I'm sure as they thought of how that God must have chosen them and called them to fill this position, they just thought he knew what was going to happen. So surely it doesn't mind. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, what they didn't recognize is that, yes, God did choose them to fill and to be in that place at that time. Yes. But what they failed to understand was God was proving them. Yes. He was testing them to know what was in their heart. He wanted to know, dear ones, if they were willing to follow his commandments, regardless of what it cost, regardless of where it led, or whatever anybody else thought. It says, Daniel, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat and the wine which he drank. I'm thankful, dear ones, that out of all those Israelites, there was a few people that were willing to hold fast to the commandments of God. And I want to tell you, dear ones, God blessed them as a result. If you go over here in this 17th verse of this first chapter, it says, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." Down in the 20th verse, it says, "In all manners of wisdom and understanding, that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm." Why? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's because they possessed the spirit of the living God. This wasn't something that Daniel had of himself. This was not something that Daniel just automatically, he was a wise man. It was because he possessed something greater than himself. He possessed something, but notice what it says here. He said in this second chapter here, in the second chapter, in the 10th verse, this is the place where the king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He had a dream and then he forgot it. And he called all of his wise men, his astrologers, and he told them, "I want you to tell me first of all the dream, and then I want you to tell me the meaning." Now, dear ones, that's an impossible task. That's an impossible task for you and I here this morning. To be able to take and somebody tell you, "I had a dream last night and I don't know what it was. I want you to tell me what it is." Could you do it? Not within ourselves, could we? And these men, if you look at this, in the second chapter in the 10th verse, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh." Do you know, dear ones, these people were looking at the king and said, "King, there's nobody can do this. Therefore, no king, nobody ever asks what you're asking. It's unreasonable." But I want you to notice what David said here. In this second chapter here in the 26th verse, the king, now it's Daniel's time. Daniel came before the king and the king asked him here. And he asked Daniel, he said, "Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" Are you able, Daniel, to do this? Are you just like everybody else that has come before me? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and he said, "The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men and the astrologers and the magicians and the soothsayers say unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." Dear ones, did you get a hold? He said, "They can't do this. I can't either by myself. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets unto men. And who does he reveal them to? But to those that he has bestowed his excellent spirit upon." Oh, dear ones, I'm thankful that God has a people that he can reveal things to that go above and beyond our ability. Daniel was no different than any other man, but God gave him the ability to go beyond his own capability. And young people, I want to tell you this morning, if you're ever going to do anything great for God in this world, I'm not talking about being movie stars and things that the world looks at as great that all pass away. But I'm thinking of things that will last forever. If you're ever going to do anything that is really, truly great for God, you're going to have something that's beyond yourself. You're going to have the spirit of the living gods. Dear ones, there is nothing. I want to stress this morning. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is more important than obeying the commandments of God. and being faithful to the calling to which he has called us. Dear ones, you and I are called to be saints, children of the living God. And dear ones, I believe with all my heart this morning that God wants to take and use you and I to influence those in our world today for good. I believe, dear ones, that God wants to use us. Young people, God wants to use you in your generation. Just as he has ever desired to use anyone from Daniel to David, all those that have gone before us. He wants, dear ones, he wants to use you to take and be an influence in the world that you live in your generation. I believe with all my heart that God wants your generation. He wants my generation. He wants the generation that's older than I am. He wants them to know that he is the living God and that he alone has all power in heaven and earth. I believe, dear ones, that God has a great calling for those that are to be the children of the living God. And I believe also with that calling comes great power and authority in our lives. It's not some high position that the world looks at. It's a place of humility and meekness. But I'm going to tell you, it's the place where the Lord meets us and reveals things that go beyond our ability. God wants to make a difference in our lives. But yes, I'm going to be realistic, dear ones. There will be times that he may cause you and I to suffer. He may cause us to go through things that will allow us to be persecuted as Christ was. He may allow us to go through things that sometimes where it looks like that the enemy is triumphing, just like he did with Joseph. But I want you to remember something. It will be well with the righteous. It will be well with the righteous. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what comes, regardless if our nation crumbles around us, if you've got it fixed and settled in God, it will be well with the righteous. Because I believe, dear ones, that God has a great and a mighty plan for you and I. If we end up in a situation where everything is crumbled and heathenism takes over our nation, I believe, dear ones, that God is still looking. Do you know Daniel wasn't in Jerusalem when all this happened? He was a captive in a foreign heathen land that did not know God. But God was looking for someone that was faithful and obedient, that could cause the king of Babylon and all those people to know that there is a living God that has all power in heaven and earth. As King Nebuchadnezzar found out here in our text this morning, and as King Belshazzar found out, there is no God like the living God. There is no God that has the power that this God has. King Belshazzar and all of his people were there, and they were partying and having a big time and worshiping their gods of gold and silver. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, in their time of need, those gods couldn't help them. They were powerless. They were not able to do. They didn't have the wisdom. They didn't have the understanding or the ability to do what Daniel did. Why? Because Daniel had the spirit, it says, of the living God. And dear ones, this is the spirit. This is the same spirit that Daniel had. And this is the spirit that David had, that Joseph had, that Abraham had, that the three Hebrews had, that all of those people that God has ever used and he's put his spirit upon to do things that are beyond their ability, it's the same spirit. And I want you to know this morning, it's the same spirit that God wants to possess you and I this morning. He wants us to have this same wisdom, this same understanding, to know how. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I don't have wisdom and knowledge to know how to answer all the things that are happening in our world. People come up with things that I've never heard of sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, I can go back to the Word of God. Amen. I can call upon God, and God, through His Spirit, can give wisdom to speak a word in season. And He knows how to comfort. He knows how to encourage. He knows how to correct. He knows how to bless. This is the spirit that these men had. Dear ones, because the Spirit of the living God came upon them. And I'm convinced with all of my heart this morning that it's the Spirit that God wants you and I to have. Yeah. I am also convinced this morning, dear ones, that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe, dear ones, He has all power in heaven and earth, and that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything that you and I can ask or think. I wish this morning, I look around and I see different ones in the congregation, and I wish I could tell you their stories. I can tell you of things of those that have gone to Africa, and Brother Michael, yes, he's suffering, but I've seen and I've heard how God has worked. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I could look around this congregation and I could tell you God still answers prayer. He still heals. He still delivers. He still works in the lives of His children. And dear ones, I believe that God wants you and I to have a vision of this, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You bear with me this morning. It's not my intention, dear ones, to try to exalt anyone, least alone myself. But dear ones, I have a burden on my heart this morning that I believe the Lord wants us to get out. And I don't know any other way to be able to convey it to you this morning than through the experiences that God has worked in my life to make these things so real and so precious to me. I want to share with you a little bit, if you'll bear with me. Dear ones, I'm no different than anybody else here. I grew up in Kentucky, just as some would say, a hillbilly. I had nothing different in me. But I'm going to tell you, I found that God has worked through the same patterns. And I didn't realize it at the time. But as I've gotten older, I've seen the pattern that God has worked. And I've seen through these stories that have happened, the hand of God. And it's made me to go, God is consistent. As a young person, I faced trials. I faced temptations, just like many of you here this morning. I was a young person, and when I got out of high school, I was looking for a job, like many are no doubt today. And I was out looking and I was trying to find something, and I got a call one day, and it was from Guthrie. Over there, and my brother-in-law called and said where he was working, they would give me a job if I'd come to Guthrie and work. I looked at that as a golden opportunity, and I thought, back where I was living, we were going through such a recession, you had to go down to the unemployment office and file and wait in line just to get your name in to get a job at McDonald's. That's how bad it was. And when he called, I thought, it's perfect. I can be in a congregation. It's just, the Lord must be working this out. But then all of a sudden, reality set in. My dad was down with a heart attack at that time, I believe it was. There was only my little sisters there and just us, and the farm work had to be done. And I looked at that and I thought, what am I going to do? If I leave them, there's no one to do this. And it's going to leave them in a bind. And I began to look at it, and Dad told me one day, he said, son, don't you worry. Don't base your decision on us. You do what you feel like you need to do, and the Lord will take care of it. I knew what my answer had to be. I could not leave them in a good conscience in that kind of place. But I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, I struggled. I struggled like most people. And he told me, he said, you pray about it. Whatever decision you make, we'll support that. The day came that I had to give an answer, and he said, what have you decided? And I told him, I said, I'm staying. I could not in good conscience leave them in that situation. Dad, with tears in his eyes, he looked at me and said, son, God will reward you for that decision. Yeah. It wasn't long after that, and I'd been going down to the unemployment office day after day, putting my name in, talking to them, trying to get a job. One day they called me, and they said, we've got a job we think will be a perfect fit for you as a young man. And I was so excited, and they told me, they said, it's a job at Kroger's. Now, you might think, that wasn't nothing. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that was big for me. I went in there immediately, and I'll never forget it. The manager's office was up high, and it looked over the whole store. And I went in there, and I sat down, and I talked to him, and the job was sacking groceries. Now, you might not think that was anything, but I was looking forward for anything as a young man to have a job. And I was there, and I went through the interview, and everything looked good, and he was telling me the benefits and all this stuff, and I thought, sure, I had the job. And as I was sitting there, he was talking about it in their uniforms and all, and I want you to understand. You may be here and you don't understand this, and I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't fully understand it at the time. It's not my intention to try to condemn anyone here, but this was what the Lord dealt with me. And I was sitting there, and he was talking about, and I asked him a question. I said, I noticed that all of your sackers, the people taking these out, they all wear a tie. Is that required? And he said, yes. Is that a problem? And I said, well, and like I tell you, I didn't understand it. I was a minister's child, but I really didn't understand it at that point. And I said, yes, our church teaches against it. I didn't know what else to tell him. And he looked at me and he said, I never heard that before. He said, I can't make that decision. I'll have to send that up to corporate. He said, but I'll call and let you know. I went home that day and I told Mom and Dad about it. And I thought, now, Lord, I'm doing this for you. And I'm adhering to what I feel convicted in my heart that the saints have taught. Surely you're going to work this all out. You can make and you can change all of this. And I just felt sure that God was going to remove that obstruction. And I waited, and I waited, and I didn't get an answer. Finally, after a week or two, I called him up, and I told him who I was, and I asked him about it. And he said, oh, no, we filled that job. And I said, well, you were going to check on such and such. And I told him about it. He said, oh, yeah. He said, no, I talked to him, and they said, we can't do that. I'm going to tell you, I was crushed. I'm going to be honest with you, young people. I know where you're at sometimes. It hurts. You think, Lord, I did this for your cause. Surely you could have worked this out. And I struggled with that for a while. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I came to the point where I decided I'm going to go with God regardless. And it wasn't very long after that we were sitting out on the porch one day and Mom was reading the paper and there was a deal in there about a heating and air conditioning class at the VOTEC. And she looked at me and she said, you think you might be interested in that? I said, well, I never thought about it, but it might be something of interest. And so I went down, and to make a long story short, that was the first door that the Lord opened. He let me go through something first to see what I was going to do, and then he opened a door that opened the path to the rest of my life. It opened the door to the job that I've had for over 33 years. It opened the door to the companion that God knew exactly who I needed. He put me in a congregation that he knew exactly where I needed to be. And dear ones, it was because, and I've looked back at times and I think, Lord, what a difference my life would have been had I thrown all that aside and I went to sacking groceries. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I'm convinced I'd have probably still been in Moorhead, Kentucky if I'd still been alive today. If I had taken a path different than what the convictions of the Lord was laying on my heart. Well, I'm going to tell you, it didn't stop there. After I got that job as a young man, I appreciated it. And I felt like the Lord gave it to me. One time I was over in Guthrie and I'd gotten sick. And they felt like I had pneumonia and I was off several days. But Danny, remember this. He called me. I hadn't been on the job all that long. And he called me and he'd say, I don't want to. One day he was just checking on me. One day he called. He said, now, I don't want to alarm you. But he said our boss's boss had been asking him questions. And he told him one day, he said, well, if he doesn't do something soon and go in and get checked, he said, we'll probably just have to let him go. And I looked at that. After he hung up, I laid there. Young people, the devil will meet you in those times. I laid there and I looked up and I prayed and I wept before the Lord and I said, Lord, you know you've given me this. Lord, you see, I need this. I felt like I needed it. And I was praying and I was struggling with it. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God came down and he spoke to me as clearly as he has ever spoke. And he told me, he said, I gave you that job. If I want you to have it, I can preserve it for you. And if I don't, you don't need it anyway. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when God did that, he flooded my soul with a peace that passeth understanding. When Brother Danny called back, I can't remember exactly what I said. It don't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. Whatever works out, God's, it's in his hands. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, young people, you need to get an experience where God witnesses to your soul. I cannot tell you how many times that thing followed me. Times when my job, when they sold the company and everybody was just in turmoil, the Lord brought that back time after time. He said, I've given you this job. If I want you to have it, I'll preserve it. If I don't, you don't need it anyway. It brought a peace, dear ones, in the midst of those tumultuous times when people were getting so anxious. I'm going to tell you, young people, you need to get a hold of God. You need to get a personal witness from God in your soul because it'll carry you through the times ahead. You can't take and wait till you get down to those times and then pray and get a hold of something. You need it way back there. But the only way you're going to get it is the Lord's going to let you go through some things. He's going to let you be tested and proven. And when you're faithful to God, God will come down and he'll meet you in a way that's unlike any other thing. When the Spirit of the living God comes down and he begins to work in your lives, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it will bless your soul. It will work and it'll move mountains. I can tell you things. I had a manager one time that came and he caught me on another roof. He'd been doing things that I couldn't agree with. And he got me out there by myself and he told me one day, he said, he'd been working through one of the men under me to stir up some things. And he looked me in the eye and he said, if you ever repeat this, I'll deny it. But he said, I have a way of getting what I want. I'm going to tell you, I went home and I struggled with that. The Lord brought that back to me. I gave you this job. If I want you to have it, I can preserve it. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when I consecrated to that again, you know what the Lord did? He picked that man up and moved him all the way to the East Coast, and I've never seen him again. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God has a way of working in our lives when we put him first, when he witnesses to our lives. Oh, dear ones, I believe that God wants to work. There's things that God has to be able to do in our lives. I want to share with you something else. A few years ago, I was there. This is when the gay rights movement was just really trying to take off and people were demanding this and that. And they were going into companies and they were demanding. I feel sorry for some of the leaders of our companies in our nation. They get extreme pressure, dear ones. They were under extreme pressure. If you don't do this, this is what we're going to do. And they came in and they began to work with our company and they began to press on them. We need these rights and you need to celebrate us. And we had a senior vice president that he finally gave into it and he sent out a policy or announcement through the company. He wrote this and he said, our company now, we support and we, I forget all the words he did, the gay pride and all of this stuff. And I'm going to tell you, they put banners up and all of this, and it was quite an ordeal. There was a real, some that are here that work there know exactly what I'm talking about. It was a real difficult time in the company. People were, remember, we're not off in some of these places where it's just prevalent. This is Oklahoma. This is where we were at. And these people, like, this was totally against our values. And people were getting up in arms and they were making comments and there were emails circulating for petitions and they sent them and they wanted me to sign. And I looked at some of those things and I thought, Lord, I can't do that. They were carnal, demanding and threatening and all that. And I thought, Lord, I can't do that. I don't support this stuff, but I can't do that. I can't go join with that. One day the Lord began to talk to me. And he began to pour out on my heart. And he began to inspire me that I want you to do this. And I'm going to tell you, young people, don't mistake this. Don't do something just because you feel like you ought to. You need the Spirit of the living God to direct you in whatever you do. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord began to talk to my heart and he began to give me things. And he let me know, I want you to write that senior VP. And I began to type that up as the Lord poured it on my heart. And We were in the meeting there in Tulsa at the time, and I took that email, and I took it to my pastor. I was concerned, dear ones. I knew what was happening, and I didn't want to respond in a carnal way because I knew God wouldn't be pleased with that. So I took it to him, and I said, I want you to read this. I feel like the Lord would have me to send him a response, but I want to make sure that it's done in a spirit that is right, of kindness, consideration. He read it, and he came back, and he said, there is nothing wrong with this. You need to, it's good. You ought to send it. I went in the next day, and I called my boss in to the conference room, and I told him, I said, before I send this, I want to tell you what I'm doing. And I gave it to him. He read through it, and we have a great relationship, my boss and I, and he was very concerned. And he began to talk to me, and he said, I'm concerned this could impact your career. This could affect your job, so to speak. And he began to talk to me, and I told him, I said, you know, I'm all right with that. And I told him, I said, if God is through with me here, I'm through. If he's through with me here, you don't want me here. And I told him, I said, I'm not concerned about that. I just wanted to let you know. And he talked to me some more, and he said, before you do this, let me take it to his boss was the vice president, and then to HR and see what they say. And I told him, I said, well, that's fine, I'll wait. But regardless of what they say, I'm not concerned. I feel like the Lord wants me to do this. And I'm not concerned about the impacts. He took it to them, and they read it, and they said, by all means, they need to hear this from the other side. And he came back, and he said, it's okay. And I clicked send, and I left to go to another building for a meeting. And I'm going to tell you, I hadn't been in that meeting 15 minutes, probably. My pager went off, and there was a message on there. The senior VP wants to talk to you as soon as possible. Well, I'm going to tell you, you know what the devil does. He said, all right, you've done it now. You've done it now, and it won't be long. You're going to be out of here. After I got back, I called him, and they said, he's in meetings all day long, but he wants to talk to you. He's got this much time at lunchtime. Can you talk to him? And I said, yes, I'll talk to him. And so I set aside, and all that time, it's just time for the enemy to sit there and begin to bring thoughts and fears. This is what's going to happen. He called me up, and I began to talk to him, and he began to tell me. He said, you know, he said, I felt the way you did. He said, I struggled with this. And he said, I didn't know what to do. And he said, but I went to my pastor, and my pastor told me that, well, they're born that way, and since they're born that way, they can't help it. And he said, so I believe. And he kind of stumbled. He said, no, I'm convinced. And I could tell right off the bat he was not convinced. He said, so if they're born that way, who are we to say anything about it? And he said, so that's why I went ahead and accepted this. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it grieved my heart. I thought, Lord, where was his pastor when he needed him? Where was he, the man that was supposed to be the man of God, to have the Spirit of the living God, to give him understanding to know how to deal with the things that are in our world? I told him, I said, well, that's where we're going to have to agree to disagree. After much conversation, and I told him, I said, our role, I said, children are born with the seed of Adam. And there are things within them that will cause them to go in many different directions in the ways of sin. I said, our role as parents and as society is to help them to understand these deviant behaviors and point them in the way that they should go. But they're going to do, and I told him, I said, there are some people, there's children that's born that are just aggressive. They're just that way. I said, there's other people that will tell you they're born, and I have a thing for children. I said, our role as society and as parents to help them to recognize that is deviant behavior is destructive to society. And it's our place to help them to understand and to lead them in the right path. Amen. Well, we talked and he offered me all kinds of books. And I said, no, I don't need those. I've got the Word of God. I've got something that is better than men's opinions, dear ones. Well, I tell you all that to say, a while later, A while later, my boss came to me one day and he asked me, he said, did anybody ask you about using that email that you sent? I said, no, I hadn't heard anything about it. He said, well, he said the senior leadership, the EOT, as we call them, the executive officer team, the CEO and all, they all got together to discuss all of this. And he said, they took that, they took your name off of it, and they put it out there, and they read that. And that's what they use. Now, I can't tell you, dear ones, that that's what caused the company to change. I don't know. But I believe with all my heart, God wanted to be able to put something there. Our company took a change. And they began to, instead of supporting those things, they said, we don't discriminate against anybody, but they quit pushing all of that. And they took a total different direction. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it touched me. And I thought, Lord, I don't know. I'm sure there was others that influenced that as well. There were people on the EOT that felt very strongly as well. But I believe, dear ones, that God wants to use you and I. He wants to use you and I in the places that we're at. Sometimes the enemy says, well, you need to be this and you need to be that. And if you're going to work for God, you have to be over here doing this or that. I'm going to tell you, you need the Spirit of the living God. Amen. To direct you in your life and where He wants you, because you will only be effective where the Spirit of God wants you. You can say, I want to go and I'll be a missionary. But if that's not where the Spirit of God wants you to be, you won't be effective. If that's where God wants you to be, you better go, because that's the only place that you'll be effective. Dear ones, this is what I wanted us to get a hold of. I believe that God wants you and I to be filled with the Spirit of the living God in our world today.
Amen.
That we can make a difference.
Yes.
I'm going to share one other thing with you. I wondered at times when the Lord called me to the ministry, I wanted to go. I sought the Lord many times. Lord, I want to go. There's places. And I desired of God. I'm going to tell you, one time I was here at Monarch and I left and I went home. If my pastor was here, he could tell you. I had prayed and prayed, Lord, I want to go. And the Lord wouldn't let me. He'd blocked it. There was one place He blocked it three times. And finally I said, Lord, I'm not going to try anymore. If you want me to go, you're going to have to make me to know. One time I went back after Monarch and I told my pastor, I said, I think there's something wrong with me. Because I feel like I want to go and work for the Lord in ministry somewhere else in the congregation. And I just haven't been able to do it. And I feel like it's me. And so I told him, I said, I've prayed and I've consecrated it, and I want you to know I'm going. I talked to him. We talked. There was one point that I had felt like they were wanting me to go. Different times, and so I thought when I talked to him that he would say, go and the Lord bless you. But I'm going to tell you, God had something different in mind. We sat there in that chapel talking, and he looked at me and he said, I want you to pray about this, because I don't think the Lord wants you to go. I looked at him, I was shocked. And that's not what I wanted to hear. I'll be honest with you, it's not what I wanted to hear. And I sat there, And I struggle with it, and finally I realize he's my pastor. Lord, you put him there, and I'm going to submit to that. And I stayed right where I was. As I look back, dear ones, I can see why God had a purpose. I ministered, I went, some of the congregations know, until I had my heart attack. When I had my heart attack, there were people there at work that they were very upset. There was one man, I was sharing with Brother Marty last night. He came to work and he told him, he said, we need to get together and go out there and get him and take him to the hospital. We cannot let him just lay there and die. He was upset. I had another lady tell me, she said, I was upset. She said, no, I have to correct that. I was angry. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, what I found. Through that, as the Lord began to work, those people came back, and later she told me, she said, I want you to know, it has done something for my faith. It has totally changed how I look at things. That man told me later, he said, well, I'm not even going on what he said. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there were things that touched people. There was an official in the city of Tulsa there that I called after I got back about something. I had no idea how far it had gone. And he was asking me how I was doing, and he said, I know all about it. I've been keeping track of it. There were people that I had no idea that was watching. And those people, they came to me at different times, and they said, there's one thing about it. God is the only one that can get the credit for that. I saw people, dear ones, that were hungering. And they told me, one person told me, she said, I have always wanted to see a miracle. And she said, I know that now I've seen a miracle and I know what God can do. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, what it did to me is it told me that our world is hungering to know that there is a living God. It told me, dear ones, that God has people out there that are starving. They want to know the truth. And I looked at that and I thought, Lord, help me. Help me. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I'm no different, as I said before, than anybody else. I realize that I can fall as fast and as hard as anyone else without the Spirit of the living God. And that is why. That is why, dear ones, that it is so important to me. When I look at all the instances in the Scriptures, all the things that I've related to you, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that God really cares about the little details in our lives as much as He did theirs? I'm going to tell you that He does. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's those little details that have gotten people in great trouble in our world today. Lord, help us. Young people, young married, middle-aged, older ones alike. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God is looking. He's longing. He's longing for people that will take and set it their eyes on God. I'm going to go regardless. If everybody else around me goes a different direction, Lord, I'm going to keep your commandments. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go all the way regardless of where you lead me and regardless of what it costs me. He's looking for that. And I want to say to you this morning, if you're here this morning and you're saved, but you're struggling with things in your lives, little things that the enemy is saying to you, this don't matter and that don't matter, and it's robbing your victory, it's robbing your peace, I want to challenge you this morning to get your eyes fixed on God, to get it settled in your heart like Job of old. He knows the way that I take. Though He slay me, I'm still going to trust Him. I want to challenge you to get that way. If you're here this morning and you're saved and you're sanctified, but you're getting tired and weary because of all the trials and pressures of life, I want to challenge you to find a place at an altar of prayer and ask God to reignite the fire of His Holy Spirit in your life. That it will give you power over all the things that the enemy is bringing your way. That will give you grace and strength to be true regardless of what happens. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the living God has power that will touch every one of our lives. If you're here this morning and you've allowed the enemy to come in regardless of your age, you've allowed the enemy to come in and rob that precious Spirit of the living God out of your life. If you've got to the place to where you have taken and you have gotten, the devil's convinced you this don't matter, that don't matter, until now you go out into the world and the world cannot tell you any different than anyone else. And you're wondering why God never blesses you or works in your life. I want to challenge you to go back to the place of your foundation. I want to remind you of David of old. When the enemy came in and he began to work in his life and he tempted him in a way that he fell, what did he say? I won't turn over there. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God has a right spirit for every one of us. He has the Spirit of the living God that will make a difference in your life, in your family, in your community, in your generation, and in our nation today. I'm going to tell you, It doesn't matter how bad things get in our world. With the Spirit of the living God, He can take one person and He can make a difference in our whole world. He made a difference with one person, and that was Christ. And I'm going to tell you, with Christ in us as our hope of glory, dear ones, there's no limit to what God can do to a life that is consecrated to Him. I want to challenge us this morning. Dear ones, this is what matters to God. This is what matters to God more than anything else, is that you and I possess an excellent spirit. And that must be the Spirit of the living God. But the only way that we're going to have it is we're going to have a determination that I'm going all the way with God like Daniel had. We can't let anything else hinder us. Because, dear ones, disobedience will cost us the Spirit of God. This will separate us from God just like it did Israel, just like it has everyone else. But if you settle it in your heart that I'm going all the way with God, and you seek Him with all of your heart, determining, Lord, I want to please You more than anything else, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the Spirit of the living God, He'll bestow it upon you, and you'll have power beyond your ability. Appreciate your attention this morning.